Coming up on this episode...
stories. They all are about this medicine or ailments theme.
They have a diseased appendage. They do not feel complete, ironically, unless they get it amputated.
The tension of the story becomes, well, is Dr. Valerie actually going to take the leg off?
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections. Hosted by your two favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Peter Biello.
And I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own ideas and thoughts about just what gives these works the narrative edge. All right, Peter, what's your relationship with hospitals, doctors, medicine?
Interesting question. I wonder where you're going with that. I am not scared of hospitals. I know some people are, or really uncomfortable. I know my father was very uncomfortable at hospitals. I'm okay with them.
And you're okay with needles and blood.
Well, I'm not okay with, like, I hate getting shots. I sort of grit my teeth and do it when I have to, but it's not generally a stressful experience for me. It's like, let's just get this over with kind of experience.
Well, I'll get to why we're talking about this in just a minute, but I have a problem with catastrophizing. So
okay.
Any sort of cough or abnormalcy becomes a brain tumor or some kind of hideous disease. So
well, you know what? I had an uncle who lived to 95 who was like that, because every hangnail he ever had in his life, he got checked out. So... you might live a long life because of this, man.
Yeah, I'm getting checked out all the time. So the reason I'm talking about this is because our book today is about medicine, hospitals, doctors. It's a collection of short stories all themed around this by Catherine or K.W. Oxnard. The book is called The Leg in Question, and it's a very interesting theme.
Okay, the title sounds kind of sexy, but not when it comes to hospital, maybe it's the a different kind of leg issue. I wonder what it is. But these short stories, how short are we talking?
So some of them are very short. They're almost like a page or a couple of paragraphs long or a few pages. And those ones read more like poems. And I really like those ones.
Okay.
But there's also longer ones that are more like 20, 30 pages long. So they're the kind of length where you can open it up, read one, put it back, come back to it later. And believe you, you'll want to come back to these. These are great stories.
I'm sure you're going to tell me why we'll want to come back. But tell me a little bit about this health connection. Can you give an example of how things are connected to
health? So let's just get into some of the stories.
Yeah, okay.
We'll get into, there's 16 stories altogether, so I have to kind of pick and choose. I'll get to one of the best ones right away. It's called The Bell of the Ball, and it's the opening story in the collection. And this one involves a gay man and a straight woman who meet in Washington, D.C. in 1981, and they're dancing partners. Mm. And they meet at these debutante balls, and they fell in love platonically. They just get each other. They become best friends, and they meet on the dance floor, and they become best friends. But then the young man develops HIV/AIDS, and he moves back to Delaware, and I'll let the author take it from there.
I think it was so new. It was quite terrifying. He develops Kaposi sarcoma on his skin, and he has a job. He has to hide it. And he has this intimate relationship with this woman. He's never named, but she's named Clementine or Clem. And he loves her, and she loves him. It's a deep, intimate love, but not a romantic love. And they sort of find each other in these crazy ballrooms where they don't really relate to anybody else. And they learn each other through the dance. And she asks him to tell her more about his life, his personal life. And he refuses. He does not want to go there. And I'm not going to say what happens in the story, but he does come to regret that. He does come to regret not sharing his full self with her, even though she knows that he's gay.
So she knows that he's gay, but she doesn't know that he's sick.
Yes. So he's basically keeping his sickness to himself, and he ends up dying without him or without her knowing. the truth. So that's probably giving too much away. But I will say that even though it does have a sad ending in that way, there's a twist in the story. And I won't tell you what that is, but the twist is very uplifting. And it actually made me cry in a very good way. It's got one of those O. Henry Roald Dahl twists at the end that basically, if I told you that, I'd be telling you the whole story. But that's what I liked about that story.
Well, I mean, sometimes good short stories, right, they sort of raise the question in the first sentence or the first paragraph, and you just follow that question. And for me, the best stories sort of answer that question in a way you would never expect. And it's often a left hook right in the last page.
Yeah, I mean, you're traveling with this story, and it's going to come quick, sort of like a traffic accident. You know it's going to happen, but you're always wondering what it is, and that's what I really like about short stories. And Catherine Oxnard does very well at this in this collection. She's gotten her stories published in national publications before. This is her debut book, however. I knew her back in Savannah as a real estate agent.
Put a quarter in the jar. We've mentioned Savannah.
There you go. She's also involved or was, maybe still is, with the Savannah Book Festival. And I knew her from sort of artsy social circles. But I asked her how she got into writing and developing her skills.
I wrote a lot. I read a lot. I've always been drawn to the short story form. I really love writers like Roald Dahl, who write sort of dark, strange, twisty tales that have an interesting reveal at the end, and A.S. Byatt, a writer I mentioned earlier, she's one of my favorites. Nadine Gordimer is a wonderful South African writer. They were able to put whole worlds inside of this very short form, and so I read a ton. I wrote a ton. There's a lot of stories I've written that have never seen the light of day and never will. But I really like that, you know, Shirley Jackson style twist, you know, at the end, and to sort of wake up the reader. They think they're going in one direction, and they sort of find themselves going in another direction completely.
Well, give me another example of how this story hones in on health related things.
So the book that we mentioned at the beginning, the title story called The Leg in Question. Now, the cover makes it look like this leg in question story is going to be very romantic or sexual, but it actually has nothing to do with romance or sex. And I'll let the author set up the story.
So I read, I don't remember where I read it, the Times, Science Times or something. I read about this phenomenon that happens occasionally in which a patient will feel as though there's something wrong with one of their limbs, an arm or a leg, a hand or a foot, and there's no biological medical reason for their pain, discomfort, or feeling that they have a diseased appendage. And they do not feel complete, ironically, unless they get it amputated. And so I read this and I was fascinated by that. And apparently it's obviously very rare, but it does happen. And so I took that and ran with it, and I imagined this time in the early 20th century in New York when Freud was in the air, but people weren't really doing psychoanalysis necessarily. His ideas were new.
So Freud is in the story?
Freud comes up as a issue or an idea in the story, but no, the actual doctor in this story is called Dr. Valerie, and the patient is called Miss Williams. And Williams, as Catherine says there, thinks that her leg has to come off and there's something wrong with it. So she goes from doctor to doctor to doctor, and no doctor is going to have any part of this because they can clearly see that the leg does not need to come off and this is some sort of mental issue. But Dr. Valerie says, let's prepare for surgery. And has Miss Williams come in, and to prepare for surgery, I'm going to ask you questions about your life. And so she lies down on a couch and basically becomes psychoanalyzed by Dr. Valerie. And so we're going through the story, and the central tension of the story becomes, well, is Dr. Valerie actually going to take the leg off?
Are they just going to keep talking forever until she maybe hopefully drops this idea?
Yeah, or what's going to happen? Because at some point, the jig is going to be up. Either he has to admit that it was all psychoanalysis and he was never going to take the leg off, or he has to take the leg off. So again, I'm not going to tell you the answer.
No, I really, this yeah. sounds more fascinating than the first story you described to me, because I want to know what happens to this leg.
Yeah. So, but I will tell you that the ending is another twist ending that I did not see coming.
Hmm. Well, regardless of whether the leg comes off, the doctor's not being honest with his patient.
No, I mean, it's part of the story also, his moral dilemma. Is he going to try something new, this Freud business, or is he going to do something unethical?
Well, so far the stories we've talked about, those seem to be on the longer end. I'm curious about the shorter ones, the ones you described that were maybe just a few paragraphs long. Do those have plot? Do they have characters?
No, these really, really short ones are more like feelings. They're more like scenes and photographs. My favorite one of these is a very short story, only about 3 pages long, called Scent. And it's about a dog that loses her owner. And the story is told from the dog's perspective. You can imagine that's going to be a
very sympathetic character if the dog's the narrator.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a very emotional, heart-rending one. And another one is called Honky Tonk Girl. That's the only one set in Savannah, and it's set in Savannah during COVID, and it involves a young woman who works in a morgue, and she sees come into the morgue the body of a man that she used to love. And that one also has a surprise ending. Some of the stories are supernatural. They involve supernatural elements, at least one that I can recall. But everything's on theme. So even though you have all of these sort of different stories, they all are about this medicine or ailments theme. And I asked Catherine where she got the idea to set this set of stories together.
My grandfather was a doctor. I have doctors on both sides of my family. My grandfather really wanted me to be a doctor. And his name was Scardino, and so I called him Scar Daddy. And I said, Scar Daddy, I am terribly afraid of blood and needles and cutting into the human body. That is not going to happen. But I've always been fascinated by it, even though it repels me as well. So I decided to do this collection. They kind of started pouring out of me before COVID, but then COVID really accelerated that. I mean, we were all obsessed with the body and, you know, any sniffle meant that we were going to die. And so these stories just kind of started spilling out of me, and it kind of became a collection.
Well, I love the idea of a nickname as Scar Daddy.
Scar Daddy.
That's a great nickname. Anyway, what gives this book the narrative edge?
This book gets the narrative edge because of just the writing and the short form. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get conflict, you get change, you get decisions, you get climaxes, you get twists in just a short amount of time. And it's amazing that Catherine can do that so well. And I really felt emotions in these stories, which is, you know, again, some stories you have to take the whole 19th chapter before you get seriously invested. But with here, everything happens so quickly.
Sounds like you're invested right away in each of these.
Yeah. I just love it. And maybe there wasn't a lot of detail in the stories. Like you think, what is this guy's name? What does he do for a living? How did he get here? You know, you lose all of that. Yeah. There's no backstory.
And you don't feel like you need it.
No.
Okay.
And if I don't need it, or if I do need it, I fill it in by my own brain, you know, and then that gets me more involved. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, where did this come from? And I'm pulling on my own emotions and my own catastrophizing about medicine and my own mother, father, brother, whatever, my own stories. I'm kind of pulling that in. So anyways, you wonder about people who have passed, your own mortality. And so it's just a wonderful set of stories.
Well, the book is called The Leg in Question by K.W. Oxnard. Orlando, thank you very much for telling me about it.
My pleasure.